Certification is an important thing, isn't it? Certification. If somebody's going to teach your children, you probably want that instructor to be certified. That would be the general rule. If you're going to have somebody work on your car, you'd probably want a certified mechanic. If you're going to have somebody do brain surgery or any kind of surgery on you, you probably want a certified surgeon. I'm going to find out if that guy, if he's going to be operating on me, if he really has the qualifications, if he's certified. And there are a lot of different areas in life might be that way. Financial advisor. I want a certified financial advisor. I don't want my first cousin just telling me how to handle my finances, but somebody that is certified. Let's look now, if you will, at Galatians 1:11. Paul said something about certified brethren, certified Christians. And so we want to see about certified Christians. He said in Galatians 1 in verse 11, just one verse tonight, where he said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I certify you, brethren." That's a good word, certification. Are you a certified Christian? Do you really have anything to document or prove or show that you're saved? The book of James is all about that. We're not saved by our works, but because we're saved, there should be a lot of works in our life to prove that we are truly born again, certified Christians. And so I'd say a certified Christian, first of all, is a changed person. A changed Christian. In verse 13, we see Paul, or Saul, in verse 13, Galatians 1:13, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." That's not a very good testimony, is it? But notice he said that in time past. But now drop down to verse 23. Something happened. He got saved. And because he got saved, he changed verse 23. "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed." There he was persecuting, and now he's preaching. What happened? What changed him? He got saved. He met Jesus. He was born again. And it just revolutionized his life. He went from old Jewish tradition to a life of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's what the scripture says. If any man loves the world, listen now. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a polite way of saying that person never really got saved. If a man loves the world, a teenager, man or woman, anybody, loves the world. I mean, they're comfortable with the world. They like it in the world. They have the world's practices. They live like the world. They do like the world. If any person loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I believe when you get saved, your life changes. And if whatever you got did not change you, you might want to go back and find out what you got or didn't get. Because if you get the real thing, I mean the genuine article, my friend, your life's going to change. That doesn't mean you'll be perfect all the time, but it means you'll want to. You'll want to please God. You don't want to be part of the world. You want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. A certified Christian is a man or a woman or a teenager, a boy or girl that has been changed because they met the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, I think a certified Christian is a conviction Christian or a Christian with some convictions. They're certified and they prove it because they have some convictions. Now they have convictions about this book. They'll tell you, yes, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I believe, and we don't have to rehash this at our church, you know that we preach the King James Version. You know we believe that it is the most accurate translation that there is on God's green earth in the English language for us today. It's the King James Version. And if you can't understand that, you might need to pray a little more for the Holy Spirit to give you the illumination of the Word of God. Hey, there have been people of over 200 years who have understood this book. My daddy had an eighth grade education. He understood this book. The Spirit of God gave him the discernment, and he will all of us. I believe the Bible. We all have some convictions about sin. If we're saved, we won't take sin lightly. We won't say, oh, well, that's just a little sin. That's just sin. I'll sin a little while and quit a little while and sin a little while, quit a little while. No, we will know that any sin in our life grieves the heart of God. And that it grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit of God. We, if we have been certified Christians and changed, we're going to look at sin as something awful and something we need to stay away from and something that God is displeased with and something that God will spank us over if we get out of His will. We'll look at sin differently. We'll believe that salvation is one way through Jesus Christ. I've been born again. I know I've been born again. I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know what the Bible says about it. Why? Because I trusted Christ as my Savior. I didn't trust the Pope. I didn't trust the Catholic Church. I didn't trust the Islamic faith. I didn't trust my works. I didn't trust the baptismal waters. The day I got baptized, I'll never forget it. It was in the crook of Beth River. Brother Lindsay, you'll understand those French words. B-O-E-U-F-E-U-F-F River. We said Beth River. And we were in the crook of the bend, and the preacher was a little bitty fellow, a little bitty preacher, and the lady he was baptizing before me, let's just say she wasn't a little bitty fellow, and that preacher almost lost her. And I was sitting on the bank. My mother reached over and patted me on the leg and said, don't worry. And some men had to get in there and help him. She said, "Him, you're smaller than her. You'll be all right. Don't worry about it." And I was like, I might get saved and baptized and go right straight to heaven. I wasn't sure about it, you know. But I thank God that I know I'm saved, and I know that that was all settled a long time ago. And I'm a certified Christian for that. I believe in heaven. How about you? Heaven's a wonderful place. I picked this up from Dr. Barber, and I love it. I love to use it at a graveside. And when we get at the graveside, I'll say some things, and I'll say something like this. You know, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. If for no other reason, the rent won't come to you, and there won't be any taxes to pay. And then I look at the funeral director, and I say, there won't be any funeral directors in heaven. And they'll go like that, you know. I like it. I got it from Dr. Barber. Don't tell him. I steal it, and I use it all the time. But heaven is a wonderful place. Amen. I'm convinced it is so marvelous, so beautiful, so glorious. Listen, if you die and don't make the rapture, heaven's still going to be a wonderful place. And I said the other day, preaching, death is, what's the difference in death and the rapture in a way? What's really the difference? What happens when you're raptured? You're translated. What happens when you die? You're translated. So what's the big deal? Amen. Now, we all want to live as long as we can, and that's human nature. But I'm telling you, heaven's a wonderful place. I believe that. I believe hell's a real place. I told you about a lady that joined our church one time in Indiana, and she said, I like the way you preach, and you call hell hell and heaven heaven. She said, my pastor's quit doing that. I asked him, why don't you ever say anything about hell? He said, it's offensive to people. He said, I will call it the other alternative. Well, it's the other alternative, all right. It's hell. That's what it is. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. I believe in the Holy Spirit, don't you? And I believe He lives in all believers, and He wants to guide our lives and lead our lives. I believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because some professor in Bible college told me it might happen someday. No, that's true. He did tell me that, some did. But I believe it because this book says it. And we're to look for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. It may happen any moment. It could happen any time. And I'm looking for that. I have a conviction about the second coming of Christ. And that encourages me because, hey, we win. We win. I don't care what we face. I don't care what we go through. We are winners. We're going to win. And I believe that we ought to take a stand. I believe the Bible. I believe that I am convicted about what the Bible teaches about homosexuality. Now, I don't want to belabor that, and everybody sort of knows how we feel about it, and I hope you've got that right. I really do. But it is, if you don't have it right, you need to get it right. That doesn't mean we're homophobic. That doesn't mean we hate homosexuals. We want to win them to Christ, just like a heterosexual is living in sin. Somebody's going out on his wife, living in adultery. We don't hate them. We want to win them to Christ. And a homosexual, we want to tell them, hey, that is not something you're born with, and it's not in your genetical DNA. It's something you choose. It's a lifestyle. How do we know that? Because I'm brilliant, and I told you so, right? No, because of the Bible. Same way with lesbianism, the same way with... It just galls me. It just hurts me to know that they're cutting up baby parts, harvesting those baby parts and selling them. Is that sin sick or is that sin sick? And the lady that's the head of Planned Parenthood acts like it's no big deal. Maybe she and Hillary ought to get together. But at any rate, I believe that a Christian like that ought to be, a certified Christian ought to be a courageous Christian. Stand for your convictions. Some Christians love the praise of man more than they love the praise of God. You can get the praise of man. If you stand for what's right, you're not going to get the praise of man, but it's the right thing to do. If you're the genuine Christian, the real article, you're going to stand. You're not going to kowtow to everybody that comes around with some political correct philosophy and say, oh, I can't hurt their feelings. I can't preach that. I can't teach that. I can't speak on that subject. By the way, that's part of what's wrong and how we got here. Because the church of the living God has been too silent about those things. And we need to speak up. I believe a certified Christian also is a crucified Christian. A crucified Christian. Paul said, I die about once every year. I die about once every 6 months. No, I think he said, I die when? Daily. Did you die today? You look like you're alive. But did you die to the selfish, self-centered, self-willed way of life? Every day, God expects you and me to prove that we're really His children by dying to self. And there's a whole lot of not dying to self, even in our churches. We feud and fight with each other like both of us are very alive when the Bible tells us we ought to act like we're dead to the power of sin because we died, as it were, in Christ and been raised to new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to die to the appeal of material things. How many Christians do you know that are selling out for pleasure, for sports, for money, for material things? They're not certified Christians. They're selling out for these things. And pleasure is a stumbling block to them. And they fall over it and they get out of God's will. Because they want pleasure, they want money, they want material gain. They want the relatives to think big of them and to think a lot of them. And they want to be successful and climb the ladder and get the praise of man. That's not what God's called us to do. That all smacks of the old nature. The sinful old nature that we have, and we have it, we have to deal with it. It is a perpetual civil war that we have with the new nature and the old nature. We didn't get rid of it, but we battle it all the time. But a certified Christian is going to be somebody that learns to die daily. Put yourself on the altar. And by the grace of God, reckon yourself to be dead, as the Bible says. And we ought to be people who spread the gospel. Get the gospel out. Die to self. Don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what they think about you. If you tell them about Jesus, some will appreciate it, some won't. But we're supposed to do it and just keep on doing it. And then I believe that a certified Christian would be a consistent Christian. I mean, somebody who's really got saved ought to live a consistent life. I talk to people, I hear them say, I've been a Christian off and on for 30 years. They're very right about it. You visit them. I've been a Christian. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I've been a Christian off and on ever since I was a child. They're absolutely right. They're not in church. They're not serving God. They're not doing anything. whether or not they're Christians between them and God. But what happens to so many Christians, God help us, and that's what is dealt with in the book of Revelation. And God hates lukewarmness. God hates Laodiceanism. I mean, think about that. You say, well, I know he hates booze, and I know he hates pornography, and I know he hates drugs. I'm telling you, God hates Laodiceanism. He hates lukewarmness among God's people. And what causes that? We have left. If we're not careful, we leave our first love. By God's grace, don't leave your first love. And we get cold, and that's what happens. Paul says something about, ye did run well. What happened? There was a time you ran well. What happened? We have a lot of dead runners in our church. I used to run well. God help us. We ought to run well every day, every week, every month, the rest of our lives, till we die or till Jesus comes. That ought to be the thrust and the centerpiece of all of our ministry and all of our life, to run well for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not all this other stuff. And all the money you accumulate and your financial portfolio when you die, and how much money you leave to your children and grandchildren. Maybe you ought to do some of that. But that is not the main thing. The main thing is, what have we done for Jesus? We ought to be consistent. Too many roller coaster Christians. Just like that. Listen, when people come to the altar, they ought to be serious about their commitments. When I see some people come to the altar and they're chewing gum and laughing and cutting up, I really, really doubt their sincerity about what they're doing down there sometimes. But when we come and make a commitment to God, it ought to be a serious commitment, and we need to recharge our batteries. I know we need that from time to time, but there should be a whole lot more. The grass ought to be running like this, not like this. We ought to be consistent in our Christian life. And I see people, I've been pastoring, you know, all these 48 years, and I've seen them come in, boy, they're on fire, and then they just cool off. They're down a while, and then they come back up like a roller coaster, and they get on the mountaintop in revival, and then they come back down. We need some dead-level Christians who are going on and on and on for the glory of God, and really who do not lose their first love. Then I'll enlarge on this. I touched on it a moment ago. I believe a certified Christian is a communicating Christian. A Christian who is communicating and sharing the gospel. I got to tell you, I was in a restaurant the other day. True. And I witnessed to a waitress there at Cracker Barrel. I wanted to get me a good breakfast, and I witnessed to her. And she just flat told me, she said, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. And I talked to her a little bit. She was busy, and I didn't get to win her to the Lord. But I gave her one of these things that Tom Farrell had. And I said, you look that up? I said, well, you promised me. She said, I promise you I'll look it up. I hope she gets saved. Her name was Jasmine. And I hope she gets saved. Listen, just tell people about Jesus. And they're more than just in restaurants. That's not the only place I witness, by the way. You that are visiting, ask somebody and they'll tell you why I'm saying that. But at any rate, a lot of times, because of our calling and our schedules, we do have to eat out a lot. And hey, use those opportunities to tell people about Jesus Christ. We need some cultivation evangelism. What do you mean, preacher? Make friends with people. Help people out. Do some good deeds for them. I promise you this, and this has been my experience of people that I've had more cultivation with and spent some time with and worked with a while and maybe been able to help them out in some way. Those people are usually easier to win to Christ, and they'll stay and stay and stay. They'll walk the aisle and they'll get baptized. If you'll love people and help people out, maybe where there's a death or where there's a tragedy or whatever you can do, to cultivate a relationship. I know we independent Baptists are sort of isolationists, and if somebody is not a Christian like us, we say, I don't want to have anything to do with them. Look, it's the sick that need the physician. We don't have to copy their ways, but we need to come in contact with them. Jesus was such a sweet, loving person, wasn't he? And he came in contact with sinners. He got criticized for it, but that's all right. And the woman at the well, his disciples, they knew he wasn't up to anything wrong. They knew he was talking to her about himself and about being saved. And so we need to have cultivation evangelism, warm touch, warm whatever you want to call it. We need to have that. We need to have a good lifestyle. I'm not one who purports a lot of lifestyle evangelism because I believe you need verbal confrontation. I believe you need to tell them how to be saved. They can watch your life all day long and you can live a good holy life, but if they don't hear how to be saved and you don't tell them or somebody, they may watch your life and die and go to hell. So what you need to do is have confrontational evangelism. As a certified Christian, you confront them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, on the other side of that thing, if your lifestyle stinks, they're not going to believe the thing you're telling them. I can remember one right now I'm thinking of that I knew a whole lot more about him than he knew I knew about him. And I had to wait until I could get the actual proof on it before I could take disciplinary measures. And by the way, church discipline is in the Bible. And the purpose is to try to get them right with God and all that. But this man, his lifestyle in private and those who knew him in other places, he was living like the devil. And yet he was supposedly a leader in our church until he really got found out. And then I had the goods on him and he moved to Florida. Right away he moved to Florida. But I'm telling you, if your lifestyle doesn't meet a certain standard and you're not the real deal as a Christian and you go around trying to be pious and holy and witnessing and cramming that down their throat and you're not living the right kind of life, they will not honor and listen to you. They're not going to listen to you. And you may talk them into some kind of decision or something without Christ, but I'm telling you, your lifestyle ought to be a lifestyle that speaks of Jesus Christ. They ought to know that you are for real. And if you go around telling filthy jokes and making snide remarks about women and getting into that sexual conversation you don't belong in and many of the other things that are out there for the women and the teenagers and all that, listen, our lifestyle ought to be not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But it ought to be beyond question. And we ought to have such a lifestyle that if we talk to somebody about Jesus, they're willing to listen. Those that are unsaved, of course, are not Christians. They'll never be certified. They'll die and go to hell. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, I'm here to tell you, when you die, if you don't get saved, you will die and go to hell. The way to become a real, genuine, certified Christian is to trust Christ as your Savior and not play games with it, but really and truly mean it. And when you do, God will honor it and God will do what He said He would do if we'd believe and call on Him. If you'll believe that He died for you and you're a sinner and you'll ask Him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, no doubt about it. It always happens if you really mean it. You will be saved. And then you too can be a certified Christian. Are you a certified Christian tonight? These are things to think about and ponder. And if there's an area there that God spoke to your heart about, you need to do something about it tonight and talk to the Lord about it and rededicate. Whatever you need to do to get it right. If you're here without Christ, you need to come tonight and be saved. You say, how do you know I need to come tonight and be saved? Because the Bible says so. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You don't have a promise of tonight, the rest of the night, or tomorrow. It only makes sense that you settle that tonight if you're lost. Let's stand, please. And Father, I pray that you would help us to realize that if we take the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we say we're Christians, that there ought to be some proof and certification in our lives about it. May you encourage the believers tonight. And may you just speak to us and draw us closer to you and help that soul that is here tonight that may not be saved to come to Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.